There is a despondency in Elijah as he makes his way up Horeb, the mountain of God. He's hoping that God will speak to him powerfully, like he did to Moses there on that same mountain when he gave Moses the tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments inscribed upon them. But Elijah has this conversation with God and is told to go and stand outside because God is going to pass by. And Elijah sees then the heavy wind, the earthquake, and the fire, you know, the spectacular. And yet God doesn't reveal himself in any of those situations. It's as a gentle breeze passes by that Elijah feels and recognizes and knows the presence of God. In the midst of our lives, God reveals himself in so many wonderful ways. I think sometimes we think the more spectacular the moment, the more God is going to reveal himself. But the revelation of God is always the same. But it's that gentle breeze, that peace, that calm, when I then can reflect on who God is in my life, that he comes to me just to give me that peace and order in the dailiness of my life, because he knows exactly what is going on. He knows what I'm dealing with. He knows what I'm experiencing. He knows my worries at this moment, my fears. He knows everything about me. And he comes with that peace and that presence that I can just go, wow, thank you, God. And I think sometimes we go to find that peace in many different places, and we never seem to find it. But when I find it with God, then I know who he really is. And the peace that God gives is peace that nobody and nothing else can give. Because the peace of God is something that calms the mind, the heart, the soul. Now, the gospel story that Deacon David just proclaimed was far from peaceful out there on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus has just fed over 5,000 people there on the hillside. He's taken 5 loaves and 2 fish, which the disciples didn't think could be anything or mean anything. But Jesus takes those 5 loaves and transforms them and feeds over, we're told, 5,000 people. And not only do they have enough to eat, there are then 12 wicker baskets left of scraps. Because these people then have to go home. And so God, in his Son, says, you know, now you have food for the journey to go home. Not just to eat here on the mountainside, but you have enough for the journey. God never stops giving to us. And there's always enough. There's always something left over. Because there will always be somebody else who needs it for whatever journey they are on in their lives. And he goes off to the mountain to pray. Love those images when the scriptures say he withdraws by himself to pray to his Father. The image of Jesus being there in the darkness, talking to his Father. And I can't find time to say my prayers. I can't be bothered to pray. If God in his Son needs to go and be alone with his Father, how much do you and I in the dailiness of our lives need to find those moments of solitude and prayer? Now, we're not called to enter religious communities where we spend that all day, every day. But you and I are called to put God first and find some time every day so that I can pray. Whatever that may be. And we have to find that method of prayer or mode of prayer that is ours. I can't give you mine and you can't give me yours. We have to find that mode of prayer that is ours. As he goes off to the mountain, he sent the disciples across the Sea of Galilee, which is not a sea at all, it's a huge lake. And when you're out there in the middle of it, you can definitely feel that there is something different at that moment. And storms and swells can suddenly, out of nowhere, appear. Maybe that's what happened that night as the disciples are in the boat, screaming, crying out, because they think they're going to drown. The boat is going to sink and they are going to drown. And what happens? Jesus comes to them walking across the water. Have you ever had that experience? When you feel that you're sinking beneath whatever it may be, and you see God coming across the water, whatever that represents in your life. And maybe you don't recognize him. Maybe like the disciples, it's a ghost figure. And Jesus says then, and he says now, "It is I, do not be afraid." How can I not be afraid? My life is falling apart. My marriage is falling apart. My children are falling apart. My job is falling. Everything around me is sinking, and I don't know how to bring it back. And along the storm comes the Lord. And then I wonder, remember last week we had Peter saying, "Lord, let's stay here on the mountain and build the tents." Well, today then he says, "Okay, Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you across the water." I'm going to hazard to say that I don't think Peter expected Jesus to say, "Come." But that's what Jesus said. Come. And Peter gets out of the boat and begins to walk across the water. And as long as his eyes are fixed on the Lord, then he's okay. But when he begins to realize what is happening around him, and he's about to sink, or feels that he's about to sink, he takes his eyes off the Lord. And then he says, "Lord, save me." And Jesus says, "Why did you doubt?" I was walking on water. What do you mean, why did I doubt? Oh, you of little faith. If Jesus says to you, "Come," he's not going to let you fail or fall or sink or drown. If he says to you, "Come, get out of the boat and let's deal with this together," then he is going to be there with you every step of the journey. And so when they get into the boat with the Lord, the wind, the seas return to calm. Why does God do that? Because he loves us. Because he loves us unconditionally. And notice that in this story and in other stories, he doesn't take the storm away, but he comes into the storm. So he doesn't take away the storms in our life. Does that make sense? He comes into them with us because he sees that we're so afraid and we don't know what's going to happen. We don't have all the answers. So he gets into the boat with us in the midst of the storm. And only when he's in the boat with us does everything return to calm. My sisters and brothers, the beauty of our God, and I hope you know this in your life. I really do. I hope everybody knows this in their life. The beauty of our God is that he holds us and loves us. We are made in his image and likeness. We're not here by chance or by accident or as an afterthought. We are here because of divine intention and purpose. And God looks at us and sees himself. But when I look at myself, do I see the image of God? What does God look like? Well, look around you. Look at the person next to you. Go on, just glance. It's okay. That's what God looks like. God looks like all of us. He's not confined to space or time. God looks and is made in us. We are made in his image and likeness. And there will be, in all of our lives, many times when the storm just seems to be too great. You know that, and I know that. But God never abandons us. Do not be afraid. Trust God. Entrust to God. And when you're ready, and when you're able, go to the entrance of the cave and wait for God to pass by. And when you feel the gentle breeze and the peace of God, you know that you'll be able to deal with the storm.